Acts chapter 11 tonight. Acts chapter 11. We've had a look at the church in Judea, in the land of Palestine, and chapters 9 through beginning of chapter 11, there's a very important transition that took place. The gospel was opened up to Gentiles in a big way. Not that it hadn't been in a few spots prior to that point, but in Acts chapter 10, God tells Peter, basically, to go over there to Cornelius' house, preach the gospel to him, and Gentiles, very obviously, are now a part of the church, and there's a bringing in of Gentiles there in Caesarea. But now, beginning in chapter 19, we come to another city outside of Israel, and that is Antioch. And we have this record of the development of the church in Antioch here at the end of chapter 11. And we find it here in chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. So I'm going to read those verses beginning in Acts 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it by the elders to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I was able to retrieve my Bible from Riverside this past week. So they had it in Lost and Found. So it survived the trip for a week. This one, the print is a little bit easier to read, so I'm thankful for that. City of Antioch. It was an important city. It was the third most important city in the world at this time. First being Rome, second being Alexandria, northern Africa. Third being Antioch here. North of Jerusalem, it's in Syria. A couple hundred miles north, and named after one of the kings, Greek kings, Antiochus, city there established called Antioch, and a multicultural place, kind of a merging of the eastern and the western parts of the world, one of those type of cities there in Syria, Antioch. And here we have the record of the development of the church. We see three stages here of this church. Stage one, the birth of the church, verses 19 through 20. How was it that this church came to pass, was brought into being? Well, verse 19 tells us that it was brought about by the transition of believers. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. That persecution takes us back to Acts chapter 8. Stephen being stoned in Acts chapter 7. About that time, great persecution came about. And Acts 8 tells us that the people in Jerusalem, the church there, was scattered abroad. They couldn't stay there in Jerusalem. They had to go someplace else. And Acts 8 tells us that some went up to Samaria. Philip, he was up there. Great work of God done in Samaria. It was done as a result of people transitioning to other places. And we read about some other people that transitioned to some other places. They went to areas such as Phoenix, Cyprus. Cyprus being an island in the Mediterranean. Antioch. Some people went to Antioch, and that's where we pick up the establishment of that church there. But God would use those believers to do a work in new places. But God had to get those believers to those new places. And so how did he do that? He used persecution. Whether or not those believers in Jerusalem, maybe they should have been a little bit more missions-minded, getting the gospel out, spreading out. Maybe that was the case, but whether that was or not, God sent the persecution. It scattered people around. And in those places where they were scattered, God raised up churches there. Persecution is something that seems bad to us. Imagine if we found out that we had to leave our homes and our church here and go somewhere else because it's illegal. We get thrown in jail. That would seem bad. Certainly, it would have been difficult for the people in Jerusalem that had to be scattered abroad. But God was using that to get them into new places, to get the gospel into new places. And God still does that today. Perhaps God would use persecution. Perhaps God would use some other form of transition. Oftentimes people having to move to a different place. And to us that seems sad. Think about the Finnerants. They're not here tonight. They're in Pennsylvania. But they've told us they are going to be transitioning to South Carolina to work in a place there. We're sad about that. It's going to be hard to fill the hole that they leave here. But the fact of the matter is that God often uses these transitions when people have to scatter about, go to different places, and God using those people in a place in a different way than they would have been used here, perhaps. So God does that sometimes. And then we see the work of evangelism here in the birth of this church. We notice that they weren't just transitioning to a new place, but they were doing that and, verse 19, preaching the word. Started off preaching to Jews in that place. And then we're told in verse 20, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyrene is there, Africa, northern Africa. These people, perhaps more familiar with the Gentiles of those regions, they come to Antioch and they begin to reach out to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So they were having an outreach there. They were preaching however God gave them opportunities to. Maybe it was in the synagogues at first. Maybe in other settings they were evangelizing, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it took more than simply people transitioning, people evangelizing. We have here a very important ingredient in the birth of this church in verse 21, and that is the hand of the Lord was with them. God blessed their work. How important is that? It's not just a matter of us doing all the right things, although we need to. Checking off the list, making sure we're doing everything just right. What we also need is the blessing of God. The hand of the Lord was on that church in Antioch. God was blessing, and the result was a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So we have the birth of the church, transitioning believers, evangelism, God's blessing upon that work. A church is born, a new church there in a new town, Antioch. Very important city, third most important city in the world at that time. And then the second stage of the church here, verses 22 to 26, we find the growth of the church. God provided for the growth of the church. And the way that he did that here was by providing spiritual leaders here. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, that they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So the news about Antioch traveled fast. Again, no social media. Somehow it was getting around, right? No telephones, I don't think, anyway. But people traveling from Antioch to other places finally ends up to Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem. They hear about people are being saved up in Antioch. We should go check this out. Who are we going to send? Hey, let's send Barnabas. Barnabas, he's from Cyprus. There's people up there from Cyprus. Let's see if he can go and see what he can do up there. So they send Barnabas. First, we're introduced to Barnabas back in chapter 4. His generosity is noted. He sold a piece of land, gave the proceeds to the church, and a very positive picture of Barnabas here in the book of Acts. But his spiritual life is what stands out. And what did he do? He went to work encouraging the church at Antioch here. Verse 23, he was glad and he exhorted them all. That's his gift. He's called the son of consolation. That's the same word here for exhorted, the encourager. And that's what he's doing there at Antioch. He sees all these new Christians, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Here's a whole group of new Christians. And those new Christians, that new church there, they need encouragement to cleave to the Lord, to commit to the Lord, to stay faithful to the Lord. Barnabas is doing that work as a spiritual leader there in that church. He's saying, come on, guys, you've got to stick with it. Got to stick with it. Don't let anything take you away from the Lord. Remember when I went to camp at Penile as a young person, they used to have a little bit more aggressive games, it seems like, when I went. And there was the mud pit. They don't do the mud pit anymore. And in the mud pit, they used to play games with inner tubes. And, you know, two teams have the inner tubes, and, you know, it's just kind of all out grabbing those inner tubes and trying to get them away from the other team by any and every means possible. And people got hurt. That's why they don't do it anymore. The point being, you know, you can't just let the other team have their inner tubes and get them across the line. You wrestle them and get those inner tubes away from that team. You know, that's what Satan's trying to do to a new Christian. I mean, here's this baby Christian. Here's this church in Antioch, these baby Christians, and Barnabas is there at that church trying to get them to see that it's going to take some real commitment. The devil is there trying to wrestle them off of their stance by any and every means possible. And they've got to, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. Don't let anything move them from their stand with the Lord. That's what Barnabas is saying to those new Christians. We need that same encouragement today. The devil is trying to do whatever he can to stop us from our faithfulness to God. For some of us, it doesn't take too much to stop us. But we need that resolve to be faithful to God, no matter what. Barnabas is there ministering to that church and telling them that. We need that commitment. And Barnabas could do that because he had a relationship with God. Verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Barnabas had a relationship with the Lord. He was a spiritual man. He was in obedience to God, to the Holy Spirit, and God used him in a great way there in Antioch. He practiced what he preached. And the result of that, church grew. Church grew numerically because of that. And so there's Barnabas. He's up there in Antioch, and he's probably really busy. People that need help, people that need his encouragement, his counsel. Maybe he's got some Bible studies going with people, and he's coming home at night, and he's exhausted. He's thinking, I can't keep up with this. I need help. And so what does he do? He thinks of somebody that could help him. And who is that? Saul. Saul. Hey, Saul could really be used here in Antioch. And so he takes a trip to Tarsus. That's Saul's hometown. And you remember, that is where we left Saul back the last time that we heard of him. Saul had been saved on the road to Damascus. He had been in Damascus for a while, then in Arabia. He had tried to go down to Jerusalem. He went there just about 2 weeks. Church at Jerusalem said, Saul, now is not a good time for you to be here. And so they sent Saul out. Saul went back up to Caesarea. Then he's back in his hometown in Tarsus. Was Saul doing something there? Perhaps he was. We read about churches that he visited on one of his missionary journeys in that region. Perhaps he was preaching, seeing churches established there. But Barnabas comes up and he invites Saul to come to Antioch. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So what's going on here? Well, it's a shared leadership. A shared leadership. Barnabas wants to share this leadership in Antioch with Saul. He knows Saul could be really used there in Antioch. So he invites him, come to Antioch. And there they are working side by side, teaching in this church for a year. It has been noted about this that really says a lot about Barnabas. For Barnabas to go and bring somebody else in to that church at Antioch, to share in that. One commentator said there's some men who would never think of anyone in such a situation. All others would be regarded as potential rivals. Barnabas was not cut out of that cloth. He saw the need to share the leadership with somebody else. And so he brought Saul in. There was a transition that took place eventually. We read here about Barnabas. Barnabas is the great leader, the son of consolation, the encourager there who builds up that church in Antioch. And then a few chapters later, we're going to find out about Paul and Barnabas. Paul's great missionary journeys. Paul going out. Paul taking Barnabas with him on those missionary journeys. God was working in Paul's life, and God used Barnabas to do that, and eventually Saul kind of took the leadership there and taking the gospel to other areas of the world. And then the result of this shared leadership here, we have the statement that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Seems that through the ministry of Saul and Barnabas and Saul here, the church at Antioch took on a distinct identity. There in Antioch, people began to see that this group was different. This was not just an offshoot of Judaism. It was related to Judaism. Many of the people were Jews. But it was not quite the same as Judaism. It was not just another pagan religion. This is something that is different. These are Christians. Christians, followers of Christ. And in that church, in that city, that name begins to be used. Christians. We see it used only three times in the New Testament. The other two times, it is those outside the church that speak of them as Christians. One is Agrippa in Acts 26, 28. Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Somebody from the outside, not a part of Judaism or Christianity, and they're referring to this group as Christians. And then the other occurrence is in 1 Peter 4:16, where Peter writes, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Some wonder whether the name was first coined by people in the world. It wouldn't have been coined by Jews. They didn't accept Christ as a Messiah. Perhaps it was coined by the world. What are these Christians, these Christ followers? But the Bible speaks highly of that name. What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, in our culture today, our society, being a Christian is something you can be, it's almost kind of a cultural thing. You know, you're not a Muslim, you're not a Jew, your only other possibility is a Christian. You know, there's all kinds of different categories of Christians within that. But here, what did it mean for them? Well, it meant that they had a unique, distinct identity. People could see that these Christians, these disciples, were followers of Christ. So we need to ask ourselves that question as well. Can people look at us and say, that is a follower of Christ? That person, their identity is they know Christ, they follow Christ, they obey Christ. Can people see that? Recognize that about us. That's what was going on in Antioch. It seems to be the result of the growth that took place there in that second stage. And then there's a third stage here. Third stage of this church development in Antioch, verses 27 to 30. And that is the giving of the church. The giving of the church. They came to a point where they saw the necessity of reaching out beyond their own congregation. And they were presented with a need. Verse 27, "These days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." So there is a prophet that comes to this church from Jerusalem. We know of many prophets that existed in the first century church. And Agabus was one of them. And he was, by the Spirit of God, able to foretell future events. This is what he did here. The Spirit of God revealed to him that there would be a dearth, there would be a famine in the world at that particular time. And so what does the church do? Do they just kind of ponder that? "Oh, wow, Agabus, what else do you know? What can you tell me about where I'm going to be in 2 years?" No, they don't do that. They see, okay, there's going to be a need for help here. And I think that's the point that we see here. This church gets together and they begin to have a ministry outside of their own congregation. They come to a stage where, okay, they've grown to this particular stage. Barnabas and Saul have been helping that, and now they need to reach out beyond that, seek to do something to assist others. And they think of Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? I mean, this was something that was going to be throughout the whole world. Why are they thinking about helping Jerusalem? Well, Barnabas came from Jerusalem. I mean, they had been helped out a lot by the church at Jerusalem. They let Barnabas go. One of their best, no doubt. They took him up to Antioch, and that church at Antioch really benefited from Barnabas. And so now they come together and think, what can we do to help? Oh, Jerusalem. Let's help Jerusalem. It's the same attitude we see expressed at a later time in the history of the church by the churches of Macedonia. We looked at this recently in Romans 15, where Paul describes their attitude. Romans 15, 26 says, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, it is their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." So that same attitude went on to these other churches in Macedonia and Achaia. They do the same thing. They send an offering, a gift to Jerusalem again, because, again, they had received a lot from Jerusalem. Same here with Antioch. Jerusalem had benefited them, and Jerusalem was a poor church. There was a need there. And so they respond to this need. They take up an offering here. Verse 29, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." So it was a voluntary offering. Was there a specific amount that was set? Well, not individually. The giving here was according to ability. So, you know, some people probably could give a lot of money. Some people probably could not give a lot of money. But the point was not how much each person could give. It was according to how much they were able to give. According to their ability, they were able to get this offering together to go to Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So they send the two foremost teachers of the church, Barnabas and Saul. They send them on a trip to Judea to deliver this offering. What can we learn about that? Well, it's important for our church to seek to have a ministry outside of the four walls. You know, we need to have that ministry for sure. We need to have the kind of ministry of consolation and encouragement that Barnabas was doing there in Antioch. But there comes a point where a church, our church included, you know, we need to look outside and say, you know, who could we be a blessing to? Maybe there's a mission project somewhere, and could we help with that? And we do that. But we should keep doing it. We are able to support our missionaries, and I think that's similar there. But perhaps there's another church that has a need in our state, or you know, in the U.S. somewhere that we have a connection to somehow. You know, it's important for us to have a heart for that, to want to reach out and help other churches. Perhaps that would have a need, that we might be able to assist them, whether we go and visit them or we send a gift, we take up an offering and help them in some way. And Antioch is not done here. We find that Antioch actually ends up being a missionary sending church. Antioch is the church in Acts 13 where Paul and Barnabas are sent out of their first missionary journey. God has raised up this church to play an important part in the future spread of the gospel. And it didn't all happen at once. It happened as God started that church, brought in people there, they evangelized, God blessed, and then he grew the church through the work of those leaders, and he brought them to the point where they could continue to minister and help out other churches, sending out missionaries from there. There's many lessons we can learn from a church like Antioch. I pray that our church would have that same burden. Not just, okay, what are we doing here, although that's important, but how can we be a blessing to people maybe 50 miles, 100 miles, hundreds of miles away, and seek to help them out and encourage them as well. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the work that you did in Antioch. We thank you that you blessed that church, that your hand was upon it. And Father, we pray that you would put your hand upon our church. We see how much we need that. Help us not to assume that we can merely get together the right ingredients, the right steps. Father, we see that we need your hand of blessing. And we ask for that. We pray that you would help us to be a blessing to others, to be committed to the Lord. See how much the world pulls at us and wants to pull us away from our commitment to you. Father, we pray that we would, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord as Barnabas encouraged that church. We pray that we would do the same. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.